reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12 and reading through to chapter 4 and verse 2. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Amen.
Ah, can we have some sound on that channel?
What's with you?
Nothing.
What's the matter? Nothing. Hey, you said that, but what are you
I'm quitting.
No, you're not.
I am.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Peter, what happened?
I can't tell you.
Why not?
I can't tell you. He told us we can't tell anyone.
He says that all the time. It doesn't mean me.
I can't tell you.
Peter!
I'm not going to tell you. How's that?
You weren't trying to walk across a pond again, were you?
Funny, very funny.
What happened?
Me and James and John went with him up on the mountain. And when we got up to the top, his clothes turned white. And then there was Moses and Elijah.
Moses. The Moses.
Yes, the Moses.
And Elijah.
Isn't that what I just said?
Well, just think, we've been set in a place at a table all these years and he shows up on a mountain.
Okay, fine. You want to make a jump?
Okay,
fine.
Fine.
I'm sorry.
Tell me, what happened?
I can't tell you.
Peter!
You promised not to laugh.
I promise!
Swear to God.
You can't do that.
What?
Can't do that.
What are you talking about?
He said we can't do that.
All right, fine. You won't want to hear the story.
Come
you
on,
don't want to hear
please.
It. Fine.
I promise.
All right, I said, Jesus, this is great. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Yeah, laugh. Yeah, laugh. Go ahead and laugh. What would you have said? You don't know, because nobody knows. Nobody knows nothing.
Anything.
Whatever. Well, how did you know it was Moses?
Well, he had to.
It was Moses, all right?
What does it mean?
How should I know? I mean, come on. Moses and Elijah show up, and all he can say is, see that you don't tell anyone.
He said that?
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell anyone until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.
Raised from the dead? What does that mean?
Like he's gonna tell me. Like he ever really tells us anything. You ever notice that? Everything's gotta be this big mystery.
So you're gonna quit?
Yeah. Why did he pick us if we're so dense in the first place? It's obvious that we don't have what it takes.
What does it take?
I don't know! Come on. This is some kind of joke. Andy, Moses, and Elijah, and then, his clothes. It was like looking into the sun. He was glowing.
He had a glow.
Can't he just talk to us? Can't he just talk to us? Tell us what's going on. No, it's got to be the Son of Man must suffer this, and the yeast of the Pharisees that. And you know, I don't care if he claims to be the Son of God.
He does.
If he says to me one more time, "Oh, ye of little faith," I'm just going to pop him.
Peter.
What?
Moses and Elijah showed up. Yeah. You saw them. You heard them. Yeah. Don't you find that remarkable?
Well, yeah.
He walked on water.
Yeah.
And you walked on water. Well, off you go then. Be sure to write. You need some help with your packing.
He had a glow.
The events in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. May God bless us as we hear his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When we went up to North Yorkshire, or until we went up to North Yorkshire, I always thought one of my favourite places was by the seaside. And then we discovered the North Yorkshire Moors. And suddenly I found a new favourite place. I mean, up there on the moors, you can look down into the valleys, and there's some days when you see the clouds filling the valleys and sweeping in, and there you are still in the sunshine. There's something about being up high. Well, our gospel this morning finds us at a high place, just 8 days before Jesus and the disciples had been at Caesarea Philippi in the shade of Mount Hermon. But now we find them at the top of a hill. We don't know actually which mountain it is. Tabor isn't mentioned in the New Testament at all. It was Helena, the mother of the Emperor Constantine, who in 326 built a shrine at the top of Mount Tabor, which has been through a number of iterations since, but it has become a site of pilgrimage. The Franciscans are the latest people to have built a basilica, I guess you would call it, with three chapels. So Peter got his wish, didn't he? One for Moses, one for Jesus in the center, and one for Elijah. And it's at the top of a hill with a winding roadway that leads up there. It's not enormously high, but getting into minibuses with their doors taken off because it aids the exit and ingress of each set of passengers, it becomes a correct place as the drivers go up there at breakneck speed, up hairpin bends of great prayer. And great rejoicing when you get to the top and when you get to the bottom. And from the top of Mount Tabor on a clear day, you can see Nazareth, you can see the Sea of Galilee. Get my teeth going. And that's one thing about high places, isn't it? That somehow you can see further. And so we have this wonderful story of Jesus taking his friends to the top. And, well, I believe they catch a glimpse of his glory, of the fullness of the purity of this man, Jesus. And he is joined by Moses, who represents the law in Jewish belief, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, the law and the prophets. Elijah, who was taken up into heaven and therefore didn't die in the truest meaning of things, and who the Jewish people who were devout would set a seat at their table in case he came again. For when he came again. When Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" One of the answers was Elijah. Is he the one who has come again? And he's having a conversation with them. Luke does an interesting thing, talking about his departure from Jerusalem. And the word departure, as rendered by Luke, could also be translated exodus. Moses had brought the Jewish people out of slavery into the promised land, or, well, nearly. He lost his temper and hit a rock. But Jesus has come, we see in Luke's mind, I believe, to give his people, the ones who trust in him, the ones who follow him, an exodus from the slavery of sin and of death. An exodus, I fear, at times, we as Christians even maybe take for granted or barely think about. But here we are, at the top of a mountain where we can see for miles, where we can see, well, to use Nathan's terminology on the front of the plan, we can see the journey from here through Lent to Easter Sunday and the empty tomb that promises so much. I always found it interesting. Who's having pancakes on Tuesday? It's the only time of the year we get them in our house. Isn't it funny that at the beginning of Lent, it's all about cracking an egg and making a batter. And then Easter Sunday, for some people, sadly, it's all that it's about. But again, it's about an egg, isn't it? We can see through that journey of Lent to Easter. So, I don't know, are any of you giving up anything for Easter? You know, I ask that question every year. And fewer people go, me, I'm going. Well, that's a really righteous answer, though, when I have answered. We started a tradition in my circuits that we gave up business meetings for Lent. An author, favourite of mine, Adrian Plass, wrote a glossary of terms, Christian terms, against Methodism. There's just a little footnote saying, see meetings. And under meetings, it said, see Methodism. I've always, other than giving up business meetings, like to take something up for Lent. Something that's going to feed me. Can I maybe encourage you as you go on your Lenten journey to, I don't know, just take a little bit of time. Oh, I was going to say, away from doom scrolling on your iPhones and constantly seeing what's happening in. That's my fault, isn't it? And seeing constantly what's happening in the news. And just take some time in the Bible or maybe in prayer. I mean, the little bit that Paul's writing about to the Corinthians in that epistle that we had this morning talked about Moses glowing and having to cover his face when he came out of the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, because his face was glowing. I've seen people who spent time in prayer who seemed to have a glow. Maybe take some time and some space just to pull closer to God during this Lent. But also hold on to those words that God says over Jesus. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. May this Lent time be a time where God adds blessing upon blessing as you listen to his Son, whom he affirmed. As you listen to him during this Lenten season, and know that this is but a journey to when we will all, each one of us, be celebrating that empty tomb, that empty grave, and that affirmation to each and every one of us that God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that we too will enjoy that exodus through Jesus. Amen.